AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back. Okay, Davis, buckle up.
This is about to happen.
Yep, here we go. Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, good morning. How are you? It's a little strange to say good morning to Bubba.
Good morning. It's an honor to be on your show again at this time of day. I appreciate the thought.
Well, I tell you what, with some of the things that are happening out there, I feel like we just need some Bubba logic on what is happening. And let's start with the banking system. What is going on? What has happened?
Well, I mean, the banking system is part of the fraudulent fiat currency system. And it's called fractional banking. And fractional banking allows banks to lend out at 10 times what they supposedly have, let's say, in their vault, right? And most banks, you know, they have this stress test, which I would argue is false and is not being done by a real auditor, but they're actually creating money and they are lending out and getting over leveraged. And through COVID, the Federal Reserve allowed them to go over 10 to 1 on their lending, which means they're just creating more dollars. And of course, they're well over leveraged to the market. So that is what creates the meltdowns, is because they don't have enough to go to 10 to 1, let alone higher. And take one step further when they, you know, the rate we hear about, like yesterday, we heard about the Federal Reserve and they went up a quarter basis point, 25 yep. basis points. And of course, that is the lending rate from the Fed to banks or bank to bank overnight lending. It's not to you and me. It has right. very little effect on us, but it has effect on direct correlation. But if a bank borrows, let's say $1 million from the Federal Reserve, they can take that in. It's a liability. But through fancy accounting practices, they can turn it into an asset and then lend it out at 10 to 1. So they're lending out a liability at a 10 to 1 ratio, which creates the stress on the banks. And of course, that's what happened in 08. That's what's going to happen again now, because if you think that only three banks are in trouble, you got to think again. This is a big deal that is going to rock the world when it finally falls apart. And of course, you're seeing the equities push up here, which is only helping them or staving off the execution. Because when they do finally come out and find out that they're in trouble, and we all know from all the letters we've received from our bankers telling us that everything's okay, it's yep. like when the coach gets the reassurance from the owner and then he gets fired the next day.
Yep. Good stuff. That's at the big bank level. What kind of risk does this create further downstream, the regional or even the local banks?
Well, the regionals have a bigger problem. They don't have as much of an asset base, but they're in the same position because they follow the same rules. They get the benefit of the same rules. And, of course, we saw what happened with Republic Bank. And, you know, they got a $30 billion infusion, and they're still in trouble. And, you know, this is an epidemic through the banking system, because they allow, you know, you heard the story of the Fed put for markets, right? Well, yep. basically, it's the taxpayer put for the banks. You know, what other business can you get in trouble and then get bailed out, okay, right. without risking and without having to take any piece away from your salary? This is the problem. The laws need to be changed on how the banks can lend out, and they have to be they have to change the ratio in which they can lend out. Plus, they have to do a better job of forensic accounting to make sure that they have the assets to back what they're lending out.
You know, we talk about the reserve requirement ratio for Chinese lending and Chinese banks all the time. It's rarely brought up here in the U.S. It's rarely talked about. Bubba, why?
Because it's hiding the secret of a supply side economy, right? There's demand side, supply side, we live under the Keynesian economic theory, which is no big business should be able to fail. Okay. Little guys, screw them. They can fail. But the big guys, we can't let them fail, which is, again, false, in my opinion. And I think that when you go back to 08, they should have let those banks that weren't good enough to go out of business, let new banks come in and bail out the depositors, not the banks.
Yeah.
And now with this SVB bank, Silicon Valley, they are bailing. They're tapping into the FDIC with people that knew the rule. The rule is $250,000 insurance.
Right.
Why are they bailing out people that knew the rule?
Right. That's exactly right. Now, of course, Yellen, Treasury Secretary Yellen, when she was talking to the Bankers Association, she said, hey, maybe we need to extend the coverage to all deposits out there. Does that make sense to you? She kind of backed off a little bit and said she wouldn't do it without congressional support. But is that something that makes sense to you?
Well, I think that they should follow what the rules that they have are in the laws they have put in place. You know, their laws and rules are not meant to be adjusted to help the rich. Okay. You know, how many people are carrying $250,000 or more in their bank account? Not many.
Not many.
So they're making special adjustments. Why? Well, Silicon Valley Bank for sure is a big donor to the party. So of course they're going to make adjustments for them. You know, we all have to live under the same laws and the same rules without exception. And that is not what happens in the banking industry, nor with the government when they're making adjustments or they're changing the rules, just like they change the rules on what a recession is, right? I mean, yeah. It's the same thing. They change things to make them look better, but they don't look any better because the average American is suffering right now with the high cost of everything. And they're not making more money. They're making less money. They're not working as much. And yet the banks are still chirping along. And again, they get in trouble. And there comes Janet Yellen or Chair Powell or somebody to bail them out.
Yep. Okay. Talk about the efforts to fight inflation. You already mentioned that the Fed raised the Fed funds interest rate. And is that enough to fight inflation at this point?
Well, let me ask you this question, Chip. First of all, isn't that stupid to hike rates into a recession, into an economy that's slowing, that the inflation is not being caused as good inflation, which is by massive demand, where we have to get product and we're consuming it so fast. This inflation is created by the government because government and the federal banking system, they create nothing but debt, which leaves the taxpayers footing the bill. So why are we fighting a problem that was created instead of not by good inflation where there's overwhelming demand, but by bad inflation that was created by bad debt and by the government overspending?
Right. Right.
So
I don't have a good answer for you.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Hey, which is going to get us into this next question here. And I was kind of baffled yesterday by Chairman Powell when he was asked, is there anything that Congress can do to help in the battle against inflation? And he basically said, oh, it is what it is, what we get from Congress. Come on. Shouldn't he be saying, get your spending under control and help us fight this inflation?
Yeah, but then he'd lose his job. The Federal Reserve is supposedly a private corporation, right? Yeah. You know, the federal banking system is supposed to be private, name the Federal Reserve so that people would equate it to government.
Right.
But they're all they want the job. And I thought when Chair Powell was appointed, I thought he was the right guy because he came out of the industry. But of course, you go into that glass house, you become an instant moron and you have to keep flushing money down the toilet. And of course, Congress, of course, they have to get the spending under control. But they don't care about spending. Listen, they took a raise during COVID. When nobody was working, they're taking raises. So we have to live by a budget like everybody else. You know, farmers, they put together a plan, what they're going to spend for the year, and they have to live by it because they got to borrow the money anyways. Why does the government not have to live by that same plan? Okay, where they can spend and spend and spend with reckless abandon and go over budget, and then they got to raise the debt ceiling again. That's why we're going to be soon $51 trillion in debt.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So the condition of the banking sector right now, how does that influence how the commodity markets trade?
Well, I mean, you're seeing still money flowing into equities, which is never good for commodities, right? Commodities are a great alternative investment. And of course, we know that with the high inflation and falling grain prices, it's not a very good mix for the producer, right? So I think that, you know, the system itself needs to be fixed. And of course, it has to mean some adjustments, but that takes away the power. You know, the ability to print money and create more money at a moment's notice to create more debt. I mean, the only solution they could really go to now would be going to like creating a 100-year bond, which many countries have now. Okay. Yep. But then they'd have to live to a normal budget, which again is always going to be a challenge in this country because, you know, as long as I can remember, the debt ceiling debate comes up every couple of years and they've never once, you know, held still and said, no, we're not raising the ceiling. You're going to have to live within your means.
Okay. Give me 30 seconds on Social Security. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I don't think it's going to make it. It's the biggest Ponzi scheme in history because when Roosevelt originally initiated Social Security, the plan was correct. I mean, you know, it was the average living age was 62, retirement age was 65. So more people were dead. It would never collect that. So they were paying a Social Security tax, hoping they'd make it that far to collect it. Well, now, you know, Social Security, let's say it's 67. Okay. And the average living age is at almost 80. They have to raise the age of Social Security or let people privately put their money away themselves because really all they're doing is using the money and of gotcha. Course, then paying it back later. And they can't keep up with the cost of living. The COLA increase never helped.
Yep.
So it's a problem because it's a Ponzi scheme that has to be adjusted and they won't adjust it.
Bubba, thanks, man. We sure appreciate you. Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one. Handsome dudes, man. Goodbye.